Hi, I'm Tennille.
And I'm Kelsey, and we're financial advisors from Allman Partners True Wealth, bringing you thought-provoking conversations around you, your money, and your life on the Wealth Experience podcast.
Welcome back to Wealth Experience. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the cashless society because there's been a lot of talk on this on social media, and we thought that we would start out by talking a little bit about some of the things that we have seen on social media of late. So Kels, let's just dive straight in today, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. So a few weeks back, I was actually taking a bit of a look and I noticed that there was a little bit about the comedian that took to TikTok and he was filming himself going into some of those major Australian banks and going up to the tellers, withdrawing cash out of his account. And the point of the exercise that he was filming was to show viewers that the banks would ask him why he was withdrawing money, sometimes repeatedly. And he was a bit cheeky about it. And when he took out his $6,000, he would come up with some quirky reasons as to why he was taking that money
out. That's right. I do actually remember this now because I remember that you showed me. And I think I remember seeing that one. Didn't he tell the tellers that he needed it to make up to his girlfriend after being unfaithful? Or something really crazy. But let's give you guys a little snippet if you haven't yet seen it.
Can't I just take out my money?
No, we won't be able to do the money out today.
I want to donate it to Ukraine. Yeah. So you're actually costing those people money if I don't get the cash.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the one. So anyway, there's a theme behind all of this. Lately, there's been a heap of talk in Australia about the move to a cashless society. And you could say that it's been quite dividing. There's been statistics from late 2023 showing that about 40% of people now feel comfortable leaving their home without physical cash in their wallet. So just carrying a device or access, you know, with access to their cards and whatnot. How do you feel about that, Kels? What's your take?
Oh, look, for me, I am one of those people. I'm sometimes at my own detriment because I don't have everything on my phone, but the main stuff is. So I don't take my wallet most of the time. I don't take my bank card, therefore. But it's really convenient. But, you know, there's definitely times where the concept of going cashless is a little bit too far. And I say this because we're solely reliant on technology. And the banks,
yeah.
And what happens when there is, and not an if, like when it actually does happen, a hijack of the systems or outages that you can find yourself then in a real pickle.
I mean, we've seen it a lot lately with Optus and Medibank and all of those different ones that go down at different times or have identity issues, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly right. So it definitely does happen. And the other side to that is the digital footprint that you're leaving behind by being 100% cashless, which is really easy monitored and tracked by big business, which it does feel a little bit like a privacy invasion without going down the whole conspiracy theory on that one. But who knows where that can lead to in the future. So, yeah, I think it's very convenient and it makes sense in so many ways, but I still think that we need to have that backup option of cash and not be over-dependent on technology.
Yeah, true. I must admit, personally, I leave the home with just my keys and my phone. And I actually caught myself yesterday saying, wish I didn't have to carry my keys. I want a car that I don't need to even do that. And Kelsey, you and I actually went to a fresh food market a couple of weeks back together. And I didn't even think about it until I got there that I would need some cash to be able to make purchases.
Yep.
You know, I went through and went, oh my goodness, how am I going to buy these eggs and these fruit with these stands that have just popped up? And I had this expectation that they would just be able to do the tap and pay or do something like that. So, I mean, having said that, it's still my preference to have the tap and pay, but my expectation is that for many established trading premises and whatnot, they'll be able to accept either cash or card as a form of money, you know, providing those options to Australians.
Absolutely. So that one's a bit on the opposite end of the spectrum and you kind of go, well, it's really inconvenient now because I've got to drive somewhere else to go to the cash machine to get the cash out to come back.
Which is really hard when I did that and not on that day, but I did that, went to the teller and it was close. It was broken. So, you know, then you go to another one, you get the $2 charge or whatever it is, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah. So I guess back to the point, how does this relate then to the comedian and the tellers to me?
Yeah, that's, well, I guess it raises the point of why the banks are asking for the details when people are wanting to withdraw money, you know, what's that for? Is it because they want to make it harder for customers to access their cash, putting in place barriers? Is it because they want information about what the cash is used for to provide for reporting purposes? You know, what's the reason?
Yeah, well, in the finance world, you know, we're pretty well accustomed to why they might be asking that question. And really what it comes down to is they have an obligation to make sure that they're looking out for money laundering and terrorism activities. So, you know, they're kind of doing their part on going, well, let's get some understanding of where the money is going. At the end of the day, how effective is that? Who knows? Because that person on the other end, as we know, can say absolutely anything.
Yeah,
they
that's
can
right.
say whatever they want.
Make up some story about their girlfriend or their, whatever the case
so
is.
So I don't feel it's really that effective.
Yeah, that's right. But I guess that it's they have to do it though, right? Because there's a government body, AUSTRAC, and their job is actually to uncover those activities. So now they can't do that alone. They're actually relying on the people involved with the financial transactions to be reporting those suspicious behaviours.
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't the transacting limit $10,000 before mandatory reporting comes into play?
It is. And that's probably a good point. You know, he's asking for $6,000 in this film, but it is $10,000.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know, and even when we're assisting with clients with their money transfers, particularly where those who might be or from overseas locations, the financial institutions we deal with reference that $10,000. So I think in the video we'd seen it for, you know, these questions were being asked for under that amount, which is interesting.
That's exactly right. I guess that's part of the comedian's point, right? You know, if he's withdrawing less than that, why the questions? And apparently many of the banks are asking those types of questions for withdrawals on more than $2,000, so a much lower figure, and kind of prompted me to go, well, you know, why are they doing that? I guess they're starting to do this in an attempt to gain information for those reporting purposes, right? And I suppose if I went to the bank tomorrow, I could take $2,000 and then go and do that in four more transactions, one after the other, if I really wanted to do it for nefarious reasons and get my $10,000 or $20,000, whatever that number's going to be, without question. So I can understand where they're coming from on that basis. But my take on all of this is that it is an attempt to stop people from large transactions for less than moral reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I probably would have liked to see in a video where he just turned around to the teller and said, no, I'm not going to tell you. What would they have done? Would they have still given him the money?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was under $10,000, they would have had to, right?
Yeah. And I guess that's part of the point is that it's got to be for the customers, right?
Yeah. But like you were saying, you counter that with the fact that the banks, they do have a financial benefit if they keep the cash in the bank, which is earning them money, versus allowing or promoting customers to take the funds out.
That's definitely interesting to me. I mean, just on the weekend, I let Leo know, my son know, that if he, that he could have $20 if he washed and cleaned my car inside and out, right? And I thought that was a great deal because it cost me more than that just to get the outside cleaned if I go to the car wash. But anyway, and for the jobs that he does around the house that are over and above his pocket money jobs, he usually gets paid in cash. And we let him use that to buy things from the shops when we go, you know, toys and games and those kinds of things. But like I said, I rarely have cash. So I did actually go to an ATM to get cash out. The bank had closed its local branches, so I had to go and find an ATM, as there are fewer and fewer places that I could actually get cash out. And then when I did get to an ATM, like I said, I had a bit of a look, and because it was one of those cashless ones, you know, you go up to it and I go up with my cashless card withdrawn with my phone and hit the button, get that out. So there's very, very few of those that you can actually get access to, but it was totally out of service.
So Leo didn't get his money?
No. No, he didn't. I had to, then I physically
did he
had
ask
to.
You for a bank transfer?
He did, because on the other side of it, he's now getting to the age where we've given him a card with a lot of restrictions around it, because you get the kids' cards and all of that to start getting him used to the way that society is with payments. Mm-hmm. But it was really hard, because our method has always been that we give him cash and we couldn't do that.
Yep. And it's really interesting. And I think we spoke about this on a previous podcast. I think people spend more money by being cashless.
Yeah.
Because it means less. It's not physically there. It's really easy to tap and go.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It's probably going to have a benefit for the economy, but I think consumers are just going to spend more if there's no physical cash. We've probably noticed that even over the past 10 years anyway in reality. But we'd really like to hear from our listeners on this topic. So let us know, do you use cash still? Is that something that still, you know, makes up the way that you spend? Do you have cards? Do you use tap and pay? What do you think is a fair move into the future? You know, do we want just digital finance and no cash? We'd really love to hear your views. So please leave us some comments. And it would be great to include some listener feedback in this area and let us know if you want more on these sorts of topics.
The opinions of the presenters are objectively ascertainable and are not intended to be financial product or personal advice.